So thankful for each of you that made it out again on Wednesday evening. I'm thankful for the numbers we have on Wednesday night. So thankful for the numbers of young people. Isn't it good to see the number of young people that the Lord has given us? Continue to pray that the Lord will continue to add and continue to bless. We seem to be in the midst of somewhat of a revival, I believe. And it draws enemy fire when things like that happen. So be very, that's what you pray for. We're not afraid of it, but just be very leery of the flesh. Because that can obviously quench something very, very quickly. So we're so thankful as the Lord continues to add and bless and the different ones that's been saved. So you continue to pray for the church. Pray that the Lord will continue to add people to it, but also continue to remember in prayer all those amongst us that are sick. Psalms chapter 138 is where we're at this evening. Psalms chapter 138. And what I do is I give you a title for the psalm, as you remember. I give you a title, and then I'll give you just a short outline for it. Now, we're starting kind of a section. Psalms 138 through 145 is eight straight psalms of David, all eight of them. Now, I know most of you, well, of course, you shouldn't think this by now, but that all the psalms were written by David. They were not. There was other people that wrote the psalms. He wrote most of them, but he didn't write all of them. So right here will be eight straight psalms of David. We're going to title this psalm, Thanks for the Blessings. Thanks for the Blessings. So you write that title down. For an outline, I'm just going to give you verses 1 through verse 2a. We're just going to title that Worship. Verse 1 through verse 2a, that's just half of verse 2. We're going to title that Worship. We'll have a look at worship just a little bit. Then we're verses 2b through verse 8. We're going to title that Blessings. We're going to look at different blessings for which he is thanking God for. All right, so that gives you an idea. Let me give you the outline, and I'll give you the title again. Thanks for the Blessings. Thanks for the Blessings is the title to the text. Worship, verses 1 through 2a. Blessings, verse 2b through verse 8. That gives you a good idea of what's in this particular psalm. Okay? Now, if you'll look at verse 1, it says, I will praise, and it uses the word praise there. And I chose the word thanks because if you look that word up, it's the same word that's translated in chapter 136, verse 1. You see, oh, give thanks. Same word. I believe it's Y-A-W-D-A-W. Yada. That's the Hebrew word. It means thanks. Of course, giving thanks to the Lord is a way of expressing praise to Him. And it must be a vital part of our life that we live here. It's one of the ways. I mean, if you're thinking to yourself, what can I do to please the Lord? What can I do to serve the Lord? Giving thanks. Giving thanks and praise every day of your life. Now, one of the things that we've been doing as we've been going through the Psalms is we've been stressing thanksgiving and praise. Now, what we need to do, and I asked you to do this in the past, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many does it. When you open your day, when you wake up in the morning, you ought to open your day with praise. Thank the Lord for another day to live. As soon as your eyes up, thank you, Lord, for another day that you give me to live here, and give Him praise for giving another day. When you end your day, give Him praise again. So open your day with praise and end your day with praise. Okay, so that's the reason why we use the term thanks when we title this Thanks for the Blessings, is because the idea of the word praise there is thanks. All right, let's look at it now. I will praise Thee with my whole heart before the gods. The idea of, you'll notice, is small g. That's either before idols, or it also could be before rulers. It could mean either one. It is the Hebrew word Elohim, and it can reply to false gods. That's why someone put small g there. Certainly doesn't. There's only one true God, but many false gods. So he's saying, before these, even the false gods, I will praise thee, or before the rulers, kings, I will praise thee. So it can mean either one. You don't know for sure. Could apply to both. But he's saying, I will praise. And what I want you to notice is his determination. He says, I will praise thee. You know, when you're saying, I will do something, that's determination. You know, I've said something, now, I will do this. You know, well, that's what his determination with regard to praising the Lord. I will praise. Will I sing praise, it says. And then it says, I will worship. Do you see the determination that he has in order to worship the Lord? We need to have that same type of determination with regard to worshiping our God. Because if you're not careful, we'll come to church. And you know that you can come to church, and I can come to church, and get absolutely nothing out of it. You can come to church and not worship. You can come to church and just show up. And that's all that it is. It's basically a show up. And that's why I wish we get to where we say, old-timer says it, I'm going to worship. That's more than going to church. Anybody can go to church and walk through the door and sit down. I'm going to worship. Sunday morning when I come here, I'm coming to worship service. I'm going to worship service on Sunday night. I'm coming to worship on Wednesday night. See, there needs to be determination on your part when you come to do that. That's the reason why I'm coming. I'm coming for the purpose of worshiping my King and giving Him thanksgiving. So He's determined to do that, and that's something that we must determine to do every time that we come in the church door. We also must determine to give Him thanks. That must be something that we do. It's something that we always can do. Regardless of what our outward circumstances are, we must determine to give God thanks. Now, we're to give God thanks for our family, and we're to give God thanks for our job, and we're to give God thanks for our health. We all know that, don't we? But folks, all three of those are things that you can lose in this life. Have you ever thought about it? You can lose your health. You can lose your job. You can lose a lot of things. But the spiritual blessings that we have, salvation from hell, forgiveness of sins, a home in the Father's house, a child of the King, we always have those things. There are some things that we have is only temporary. Now, this body that I have, this human body, this is temporary. My home up here in Black Betsy, that's temporary. Jobs are temporary. I'd like to think I'm going to be pastor of Elizabeth forever, but I'm not. My job here is only temporary. Whatever job that you have, it's only temporary. See? But the eternal blessings we have, those are things that we can give thanks to Him every day of our life. And we must determine to do that. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you for that. For giving, for sending your Son to die for me. For determining before the foundation of the world to save my soul. And you can look at all these spiritual blessings, and that must never grow old to us. If you get to looking, many times we spend more time complaining and quarreling than we do thinking. Now, I've told you this before in the past, and I will tell you every opportunity I get. It lifts you up whenever you give Him thanks. Now, if you'll look down in the text of Psalms 138, if you'll look down in verse 7, it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble. So when He's given Him praise, and He's given Him thanks, which is what the word praise means in this text, He's doing that in a time of trouble. And David, especially before he actually was set up as king, King Saul tried to kill him. He was like a fugitive in his own country for a long period of time. And his life was in constant jeopardy. He was in constant trouble. But folks, he still had things to be thankful for. Even in the midst of his trouble, he had things to be thankful for. And when we're in trouble, when we're in hard times, when we're in difficult circumstances, that's when we really need to give Him thanks. The book of 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in some things, give thanks. Is that what it says? It says, in everything, give thanks. Now, the reason why it says that is because when you give thanks and you're going through a hard time, it raises your focus up on your God. And it raises your focus on that which is most important, and it raises your focus on that which is eternal. It has an uplifting effect upon you. And it's a tremendous testimony to other people. You remember Job? You remember what all Job went through? Remember he lost all of his wealth and he had his children all get killed on the same day? You remember how he responded to that? Naked came I from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He'd given God thanks. See, he still had spiritual blessings for which he could be thankful for. Let me give you another example. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel. And for preaching the gospel, they were put in prison. Not only was they put in prison, but they were beaten. 39 stripes they got. You imagine their backs would have been raw. And then if that wasn't bad enough, they put them in a jail cell and they put them in stocks. You know where you put your head in and your hands, your feet? They put them in stocks. Can you imagine how that felt? So after they weren't suffering for doing something wrong, they were suffering for doing something right. And they were beaten and they were put in stocks. And it says, the Scripture says, at midnight they sang praises unto God. Let me ask you a question. What did they have to be thankful for? I mean, they didn't know at that time whether they was going to live or die. I mean, they really didn't know that God was going to send an earthquake and open the prison up. Before that ever happened, before they ever knew, in spite of the trouble that they were in, in spite of how uncertain their future looked, they praised Him. And said all the prisoners heard Him. They give God thanks. What did they have to be thankful for? Think about it just for a little bit. Did they still have a home in the Father's house? So that didn't change a thing. They still had a home in the Father's house. Their sins were still paid for. They were still children of the King. And their God was still in control. Remember, all things work after the counsel of His own will. He was still on His throne. See? So they still had a lot of things. They still had victory over death. They still had eternal life. So they still, and they focused on those things. And as they focused on those spiritual blessings, it raised them up and brought a song out of them at midnight. Can you imagine? So we must determine to give God thanks. And we need to do that at all times. Not just sometimes. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. So as we look back at our life as a Christian, we should see nothing but a pathway of praise. That's something we can do. You say, well, Jeff, I can't sing in the choir. I'm not talking about singing right now. I'm talking about giving Him thanks. Thanking Him. And these spiritual blessings that He blessed you with the day that you're saved, they're always yours. And even in the midst of trouble, and you look in the Scriptures, that's exactly what they did. They focused on these things, and it raised them up. I was reading about a preacher, and he was talking about how in trouble, you give thanks for the spiritual things. And he was describing, he went through open heart surgery. And he was laying in the bed and he felt horrible. He said that, and of course you that's been through that know what he feels like after they take you out and you're beginning to recover. Then they got him in a room. And Nebraska, he's from Nebraska. Nebraska was playing in a bowl game. And they had the TVs on and people was all excited. And there's 70,000 went into that cared about it. And he said, you know what? I couldn't care less about that football game. He said, because when you're going through trouble, things like that doesn't matter. And you tend to be thankful for the things that really do matter. So he just told him to turn it off. And he just laid back there. He didn't care whether Nebraska won or lost. And he just thanked the Lord for saving him. And he began to thank the Lord for things that mattered the most. And in trouble sometimes, you look and see what you're thankful for. In trouble sometimes, you're thankful for the spiritual things. And that raises you up. You always have those. So he determined to praise God for those things. Now let's look. I need to get off verse 1 here in a minute, but we're looking at worship here just a little bit. He determined to thank Him. We must do that. We must do that. We do it every day of our life, not just in good times, but also in hard times. Not just for the temporary things, but especially for the eternal things. I must say one more thing. Sister Linda Scantlin, when she was on her deathbed, praised God. And that's really something to see. On a deathbed, football don't matter, does it? Money didn't matter then. Clothes, cars, houses, none of that mattered. But yet at the same time, she was praising God. A smile on her face as she thought about heaven. Just talked about glory and saying what a day that'll be. And was praising God and giving Him thanks. She said, well, yes, she was dying. Yes, she was. Knew it. But she knew where she was going. And her mind was there. And it was something to behold. And she was filled with thanksgiving. Even on her deathbed. Think about it, folks. The eternal things in this world is what matters anyway. But it's something that you always have. The temporary things are, they change. They change. But the eternal things never do. You must focus on those things. We don't focus on. And they're priceless. You can't put a price tag on them. You can't put a tag on them at all. I was talking to the different families. Michelle's, the Lucart family, and the Phillips family, and the Bailey family, the different families that have seen all their family saved. I was telling JP Sunday after Jordan was baptized, I said, I want to tell you something. Somebody could offer you $4 trillion, and it doesn't even compare to seeing your whole family know Christ. Amen. That doesn't even compare. Because, my friend, that's all that matters. I mean, a family, we got our family here now, don't we? Now, I'd just dearly love to keep every bit of my family right here around me, wouldn't you? Does everybody know that's not possible? That's not possible, is it? Well, you want to know something? When your family knows the Lord, it might be goodbye for a little bit, but it won't be goodbye forever. And when you look at the way time is, and maybe 40 years, 30 years, don't know, you'll see them again. Isn't that awesome? That's what you're thankful for. You thank God for these things because they never change. We must determine to do that. We don't do that enough. We're not really thankful enough for the temporary things. When you compare the United States with these other countries, it doesn't even compare. We don't worry about food, do we? Really, do we worry? Is that something that where's our next meal coming from? Do you worry about that, Mike? I don't even worry about that. That's not even on my mind. God so provided for us that's... Do you know how many people in the world are worried about that? You get plenty of food. We're at war. We need to pray that the Lord would give us peace. But we don't got war here. How thankful we should be for that. I mean, you can go on and on with what He's done. And so often, we completely overlook it. And quarrel over something that's so minute that really don't matter about anything. Praise Him. Enough said on that subject. Praise Him. Thank Him. Well, things are hard. If you're saved, you can still praise Him. You just determined to do that. It'll raise you up. It'll be a good testimony for others. Now, let's go ahead and look on. It says, now we've looked at His determination to worship. His determination to worship. Now, number two, let's look at His quality of worship. Quality of worship. He says, I will praise Thee with my whole what? My whole heart. That's a different way to worship, Brother Allen. That's a total different way. You can sing songs and it just be from the lips, and we've all done it, haven't we? I've been singing songs, you know, about different things and be sitting there thinking about loading a truck or something. You know, your mind be elsewhere. For worship to be, now I want you to hear this. For worship to be acceptable by God, you have to have two things. Well, of course, you have to be saved. That would be three things. But for worship to be accepted, it has to be done in spirit. It means it has to be done from your heart and has to be done in sincerity. But you have to have truth, too. Spirit and truth. If you don't have truth, it's not accepted. There's a lot of folks that really are enthusiastic in their worship, but they don't have no truth in it. So you have to have spirit and in truth. And here, his worship, not only did he determine to give God praise, not only did he determine to do that, but he determined to do so with his whole heart. His whole heart. Isaiah 29, verse 13, I believe it is. Let's go ahead and turn to that one. I'll pick up. I just go with what I think the Lord wants me to say, and we'll stop here after a while sometime. Isaiah chapter 29. He's speaking about the worship of Israel. See, when you come to worship, that's who you're coming to worship, and who you're worshiping is your God. That's why you come here. Hear a message, sing songs, and worship Him. Grow closer to Him. See? Well, notice in Isaiah 29:13, it says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people, they draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but they've removed their heart from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men." There was no heart in it. It's all show. It was all put on. No heart. And from the heart, it means in sincerity. It means in spirit, see. That's the idea of it. So whenever he was coming to worship, he determined to worship the Lord. He determined to do so with his whole heart. With his whole heart. Not half-hearted. Not just from the lips, from the heart. You know what, Mike? When you do it that way, you enjoy it better. You know the time you've come to church and really you ever just get overwhelmed with joy being in God's house? You worship from your heart. There's been other times you came, just showed up, and the best thing about it was over with around 8:30. And you didn't get much out of it. Well, you didn't worship from your heart. Now, there's some necessity. In order to worship the Lord from your heart, let me give you some things you need to do. You write these three down. All three words starts with a P. Are you ready? You need to do some preparation before you come. There needs to be some preparation. Prepare yourself. I always use the illustration of Coach Jennings in high school. He never allowed us to talk on the bus. Remember that, Alan? Never allowed you to talk. It's horrible. A bunch of boys on there. If you went to Ohio somewhere, you from Poca to there, you had to be still. Or he'd slap you right upside the head if you never was quiet. But he'd get on there and say, "Boys, don't open your mouths." In a real nice way, he said it. Right. He said, "Don't open your mouths. You need to think about what you're getting ready to do." And we thought about what we was getting ready to do all the way there. I've often thought, if it's important to think about what you're getting ready to do in a football game, how much more important is it when you get ready to come to God's house to worship the Creator, the King of Kings? How much more is it important to think about what you're getting ready to do? Who you're getting ready to sing to? Who you're getting ready to pray to? And whose word you're getting ready to listen to? There has to be some preparation before you ever come. If you've ever done any teaching, any of you that's ever done any teaching, usually who gets the most out of the teaching is the teacher. Mike, do you know what I'm saying? Michelle, all of y'all that teach, you get more out of it. You know why the teacher usually gets more out of it? Because they prepare for the class. They prayed. They studied. They've got themselves mentally ready. And when they come in, they're ready to go. And they usually get more out of it because they've done the most preparation for the class. Worship's important to the Lord. He enjoys it. It's something that we do that pleases Him. But it has to be from the heart. And in order for it to be from the heart, there has to be some preparation. You have to think about what you're getting ready to do. Number two, under the same point, there has to be prayer. You pray. We're flesh. We're weak. My attention wanders. And I forget that we're still in the second verse and not on the course. Our mind wanders. Our mind wanders. It really does. And it does in church, too. It does in church. You can be sitting there, be singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and be thinking, "Boy, I'd like to go fishing tomorrow, and then I'm going to do this tomorrow," and you're nothing there. See, it's not from the heart. So you have to have the Lord help you with that, because our flesh is weak. We know that. Lord, help me to worship you. Help my attention. Help me not to lose attention. Keep me awake, would you, Lord? Keep me awake. I'm about ready to fall asleep. Would you keep me awake? See, ask Him to help you. Pray and ask Him to help you. So you think about what you're getting ready to do. You pray. And if you get time to read a little bit before you come, do that. Get the Word in your mind so when you come in that door, you're ready to go. See? You're ready to go. We'll spend an hour getting ready for church physically. Hair done, tie on, wash, shoes shined, and spend no time getting prepared spiritually. Now, let me ask you a question. Which is more important? Let me ask you another question. Which is more important to God? You'd be prepared spiritually. Spend some time doing that. And when you come through that door, you're ready to worship. And you pray for me, obviously. You pray the Lord would speak to you from this pulpit. There's been people left from here and said, "Man, you must have knew." No, I don't know nothing. The Lord knew it. And that's why He directed the message the way that He does. He does. You pray for me. Pray for me as a delivered. Preparation has to be done if you're going to worship from your heart. What we do, we walk in from the world, we sit down, "Aye, hit me with it." It doesn't work that way. Hit me with it. Well, Jeff was off tonight. I can be off, I guess. But if you're ready to worship, you'll still get something out of it. If you prepare and just not show up. Number two, worship from your heart, you got to have preparation, but you got to have participation when you get here. Bring your Bible with you. You need a Bible. You ought to thank God you need a Bible here. I know there are some places you can go to, you can leave it out in the car. You don't need it. Don't use it. Don't teach from it. They might read a verse and yell at you for an hour and not explain it. They'll do all those things, but they won't use their scriptures. Don't understand that. The dominant thing in a church service must be the Word of God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow. That's how you grow. You got to have the Word of God in church service. So you bring your Bible with you. You bring you a notebook, if you have a notebook or a piece of paper. You write down notes. I might preach on something you have a question about. You put that in the question box. We're going to start that back up here in just another couple of weeks. You might want to ask me something about it after the church service. I don't know. I can send you to Hollis, the dean of the Bible college. He can tell you. He knows everything. See, you can ask. You can ask him. So you write it down. You follow along. You listen attentively. You listen attentively. You know why preachers give you verses? Proof for what they're saying. Here's why I believe it. Here's the scripture. You look it up and see whether it's so. Well, I don't think that's so. Well, that's how I see it. You'd be a good Berean. So you participate. Bring your Bible. Bring you something to write on. Listen attentively to what's being said. Elizabeth is really good about paying attention. Yeah, this is one of the easiest churches to preach in, isn't it, Brother Hollis? Yeah, it is, because people do pay good attention. I've been in some. It's laying back there with their mouth open that far. I got ready to throw a tissue in it. Wake up, boy. It's unreal. I mean, sometimes it's because folks are tired, and that happens. And that happens, too. But not every Sunday. Every Sunday. So you listen attentively. You listen attentively to what's being done. Then, of course, when you leave, you practice what is said. You got those three things? In order to worship from your heart, you prepare yourself, you participate, listening, and singing. Bears to sing, hum. God hears it from the heart anyhow, doesn't He? You can hum. Okay? But you participate. You listen attentively, follow along, and then you practice. You seek to put into practice what you hear. See? If you don't put into practice what you hear, all you did was watch a performance. You got to put into practice. It's not the hearer of the word that's blessed, it's the doer of the word that's blessed. So you seek to do it. All right, now let's move on to blessings. Well, we got about six to show you here. And now we're off verse 1 and 2a. We'll move to point number 2. Let's talk about some of the blessings, and we'll move rapidly through those. Remember, he's praising God, he's worshiping, and here's some of the blessings that he's worshiping for. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. That would be the tabernacle, because remember, David's time, there wasn't no temple. Solomon built the temple as David's son, so this would be the tabernacle. They did have the Ark of the Covenant, and he took the Ark of the Covenant and put it in a tent. That's probably what he's referring to. They would worship toward that. Do you know why they would worship toward that? That's where it was seen that God dwelled at in Israel. Remember Daniel when he was in the land of Babylon would throw open his window and pray towards Jerusalem. That God was viewed at dwelling on Mount Zion. I will worship toward thy holy temple. I will praise thee for thy loving kindness. All right, the first blessing that he's praising God for is for his loving kindness. The word loving kindness is translated in chapter 136, mercy. Loving kindness is mercy. If you define mercy, it's loving kindness. Define loving kindness, it's mercy. God bestowed upon you His mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserved. God didn't give me what I deserved. If I got what I deserved, the earth would open up and I'd slide right into hell. I didn't get what I deserved. God bestowed upon me His mercy and His grace. Is that something to thank God for? You need to thank God for His mercy. He bestowed that upon you the day that He saved your soul. And He had determined to do that before the world ever began. So He's thanking. You ever thank the Lord for His mercy? He bestowed upon you mercy. Number two. He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. I praise thy name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The second thing he's thanking God for is his truth. What's his truth? Right there's his truth. You ever thank the Lord for your Bible? I don't know. Could you imagine living life without a Bible? You know how thankful I am to have this book? You know what carries me in this life? This book. The promises of it. You know what lifts me up when I'm down? This book. You know what encourages me when I'm discouraged? This book. I love this book. I love to read it. I love to preach from it and teach from it. See? You need to thank God for this book that He gave you. And that's what he's doing there. He's thanking God for His truth, which is His Word. We take for granted that we have a book, don't we? The Word of God, in which God reveals Himself, His plan, His salvation, our future, great promises to sustain us. All those things we need to praise Him for. Verses 4 and 5 mentions all the kings of the earth will praise the Lord when they hear the words of thy mouth. The Lord has saved some kings of the earth, hadn't He? You look back in history, we was studying last night, probably King Cyrus maybe was saved. He was the one that sent the Jews back after they were carried off into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar, he saved different kings, different officials. I still do believe the best officials in governing the land is God's people. You don't want to leave all that up to unbelievers, do you? One of the things the Lord did in the book of Deuteronomy, you can read about it, is they were to take a copy of the law. They were to make a copy for their king. They were to make a copy for the king. And the king would read in that. Deuteronomy 17, if you like to look, 18 through 20. The king was to read in that day and night. Why was a king to read in God's Word? Make him wise. Makes you a better leader. Makes you understand people better. Oh, man. How we need godly leaders. And I don't mean godly leaders that tell you what you want to hear and then go do something else. I'm not talking about chameleons that adjust to whatever their environment is. I'm talking about God-fearing men. Our forefathers started this country with God-fearing men. They lived it. They served the Lord. They were respectful. They talked about the Creator. Well, I'll tell you any more. It's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the times. I'm going to mention this one more Wednesday night, and I might not leave it alone. And you'll have to agree with me on this. When you go and vote anymore, you always pick the lesser of the two evils, usually. I'll go in and vote, and I'll go, now this one ain't as bad as this one. You know what that is, folks? That's a sign of judgment on the land. Homosexuality is a sign of judgment on the land, too. That's a sign the judgment's already began. Disobedience to parents is another sign. All the signs are there. We do need godly leaders. Pray that the Lord would raise them up. So the king, kings would rise up and praise the Lord because of His word. Let's roll on now. Psalms 138, verse 6. Though the Lord is high, I'm sorry I missed something that I want to share with you. Look back at verse 3. I skipped right over verse 3. It said, in the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. You might want to mark that verse. Look what it says. In the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Have you ever been really weak? Have you ever been really going through a hard time and cry out to the Lord and the Lord respond by strengthening you in your soul? Have you ever experienced that? It's awesome. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Lord does sometimes. Sometimes you'll be in a troublesome time and He'll completely deliver you out of the trouble. Other times He'll let the trouble remain and strengthen you instead. But it's an amazing thing, even in the midst of trouble, to experience the strength of God giving you strength right in the middle of it. I'm going to tell you this again because I don't grow weary of telling it, and I think it's good for me to tell this. Brother Steve Ruby told me that exact same thing. Brother Steve had cancer for 3 years, I believe. And he had it everywhere. He had it everywhere. And when he would come here to church, I remember when he was sitting in the back one day, and I looked back here, and I really didn't know who it was until I got back here, and I knew him in my eyes, and then he started jumping on me there, and then I knew it was Ruby. We worked together at Hex, and he had that for 3 years. He had it in all different places, and it was a miracle that he lasted 3 years. But during that three-year time frame, he witnessed to so many people. You talk about using, John Piper wrote a paper, Don't Waste Your Cancer. You talk about using that to serve the Lord. He did. Witness to, I don't know how many people. And here's what Ruby told me right out there on our porch. He said, Jeff, he said, I know the Lord could make me whole if He chose to. And that would be good. That would be good. But you know, He's chosen not to. Instead, He's chosen to strengthen me. And he said, you know, Jeff, I think that's even greater. I just walked down in the church and sat down. Isn't that an awesome statement? And God did strengthen him. He did just exactly what that verse said. The day that I cried, He answered me and He strengthened me with strength in my soul. You know, Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ, which does what? Strengthens me. And He can give you the strength to do and to go through things that you never thought were possible on your own. Y'all believe that? And He's praising God. See, that's another blessing that He's praising God for. The Apostle Paul prayed. He had a thorn in his flesh, 2 Corinthians 12. And he prayed for God to remove it. I think it was his eyesight. His eyesight was bad. He asked the Lord to take it away 3 times. You know what the Lord did? You know what the Lord's answer was? No. He said, My grace is sufficient for you. Instead of taking that affliction away, he said he permitted that affliction to keep Paul humble because he had so much revelations and from God. He actually told him why he permitted it. Why he brought it was to keep him humble. And he said, what I'm going to do instead, Paul, is I'm going to give you grace to hold up under it. sufficient grace. Folks, listen to me. It's always His will to give His children grace. You can know that for sure. And He can do so in situations that, like He did Sister Linda Scantlin, like He did Steve Ruby, like He did Paul and Silas. Strengthened them with strength in their souls. He can do that for you too, if you're His child. Thank God for that. All right, let's start winding this up. You see the blessings? We're to thank God for the blessings. One blessing is His mercy, His truth, His answers to prayer. But notice verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, the humble. But the proud, He knows afar off. Brother Hall was speaking last night about how high and mighty God is. High and lifted up, isn't He? Yet He cares about a worm like me. I can't explain that to you. He is so high and mighty. But yet He cares about us. Very much. So much that He sent His Son to pay your debt on Calvary. We sing a song sometimes, "Why did He love me so?" That's hard to imagine. He's high, but yet He hath respect to the lowly. You know, in order for someone to be saved, they have to become humble, don't they? They've got to realize they can't save themselves. They have to cease to trying to save themselves and trust the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the publican in the book of Luke chapter, I believe it's chapter 18, cried, "My God, have mercy on me." Remember? And God bestowed upon him His grace and mercy. He's so high, but yet He cares about us. We're to thank God for that. He has compassion and respect unto the lowly. We're to humble ourselves. We humble ourselves today, we're saved. Now, I want you to listen to one more thing. I mentioned this earlier to you in the year. We're to humble ourselves when we go through things, too. We're to humble ourselves when we go through trials, too. Because you know what? A lot of times when trials come, what we do is we're just like a wild horse. We seek to buck and we quarrel. We get mad at the Lord. And in arrogance, we begin to question Him. Well, there has to come a time when we humble ourselves. And Lord, I don't know why. I can't explain it. Don't know. It's one thing I do know. I know You're good, and I know You love me, and I know You've got a purpose, and I submit to that. And when you do that, you can just feel that He lifts you up. As long as you quarrel at Him, it's just going to make things worse. Just going to make you submit to that. Here, Lord, I'm going to stop a quarreling. Does the Scripture say the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord? Does it say in Ephesians 1 that all things work after the counsel of His own will? Is He in control of your life? Certainly is. So, Lord, You have a purpose for everything You permit. And You cause all things to work together for the good to those that love God. And Lord, I submit to that. I don't understand what I'm going through right now, though, Lord. I don't understand it. And you know something else? I don't like it. Master, I submit to it because I know there's a purpose for everything You permit. It has a strengthening effect upon you. Okay? Now let's finish it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Well, the idea of this word revive here is keep you alive. He'll keep him alive. He'll sustain him, even in trouble. You ever been sustained in trouble by your Lord? He'll sustain His people in trouble. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy hand shall save me. In verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hand. So, you see the worship in verse 1 and 2a, and then to be through the rest of the verses, you see the different blessings for which He gives thanks. That's why the Psalms is here. And so we as His people, you say, Jeff, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a singer, there's not a lot of things that I can do. I tell you something we all can do if you're saved. Thanking, praising for the things He's done. All God's people say it. Let's all stand.